right. Thank you all for coming. And let's open with prayer. Father Jesus, we give you praise, glory, and honor. We thank you for this opportunity to be in the house of God with the people of God. Father, we submit ourselves to you, Lord. Let this house be your house. Let your spirit dwell within this house. Let those that are coming feel the love of God and desire to know you. Help us, Lord Jesus, to be that witness to that love. Lord, bless in every facet of the service today as it goes forth. May it be to glory and honor you. Give us wisdom and understanding, Father, and revelation to your word. Bless the pastor as he travels forth. Strengthen his body, his mind, Lord Jesus. Anoint him as he goes forth according to your will, Father Jesus. Bless those that cannot be in this house today, that the enemy has afflicted, or whatever the issues may be, Father. We know that we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. Although there are times that we have to walk through the rivers and the valleys and the trials and whatever it is, path that you have set before us, God Jesus, strengthen us. Give us wisdom and understanding to know who we are and who you are, Father Jesus. And even in all that, we are more than conquerors. In Jesus' name, I bind and rebuke illness and sickness, because it is not an inheritance of the children of God. In your name we pray. Amen. Amen. So today I was studying. That man, he's always got work to do. Every time I look at you, you're working. Bless your heart. In the name of Jesus, slow it down. It stop it, Lord. We claim it. Alrighty. So today I want to talk about being guided or leaded. In our natural states, we are slaves to sin. We are born into sin. We are sinful by nature. It is just, as we would say, human nature for us to be sinful and to be under sin. That's what the curse in the garden caused, was Adam fell and caused sin. But a sin by one man caused all men to be sinful. But we also know the Bible says by Jesus Christ, by his righteousness, his holiness, we are all able to be holy and righteous through Jesus Christ. So we're going to be slaves to something in our lives, whether we serve the flesh or whether we serve God. And I was struck by, John 16 and 13, and I want to just read that, because sometimes when I quote this scripture, I use a different word. But God showed me this, and I want to try to reveal it to you so that you'll understand it as well. And forgive us who change the words out, but there is a slight difference in it. Jesus is talking to the disciples in John 16, and he's talking to them about the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, they have lived with Christ for 3 years or so at this time, and he keeps talking about going away, and he's got to leave. But when I go, I'll send the comforter for you, the truth. And if you will just read, it says, let me get into the King James Version. And he's trying to speak to them about things. He says, they shall put you out of the synagogues, and the time cometh that whatsoever killeth you will think that they do God's service. And these things will they do unto you because they have not known the Father nor me. But these things have I told you, that you, when the time shall come, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I said not unto you at the beginning, because I was with you. But now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is expedient that for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter, and that's capitalized, will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment of sin, because they believe not on me of righteousness, but because I go to my Father, and you see me no more of judgment, because the prince of the world is judged. This prince of this world is judged. And this is getting down to the scripture I'm going to talk about. It says, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Have you ever wondered why God works in part? He reveals in part. It's because we can't bear them now. It's just pieces. You know, I have this wonderful saying that I tell you all the time, and you've heard it a million times, that he turns the light on in one room at a time. And we clean that room up, and then we go to the next room. It's because I could not bear it all at one time. That is a thing of the enemy. A lot of times he'll go at you, and he start reminding you of what you did, of what you said, of what you didn't do, what you should have done. I mean, he comes at you with all these guns at one time, and it's like, oh God, I just can't bear it. And I love Pastor's story when he's like with his wife, and I unfortunately have my own story. We'll be driving down the road, and Vinny will be, it'll be silent in our car, and I'll just say, oh Lord, thank you, Jesus. And we've had no conversation. We're just driving somewhere, and my husband will stop and say, are you okay? And I'm like, yep, I'm good, but I don't want to tell you what I was just thinking about myself. I'm like, Pastor talked that story out, and I was like, oh Lord, I heard myself in that one. But, you know, it's at that time that I'm remembering what God has brought me through. And I'm thankful because of, you know, he has provided, he's changed me to be something better than I was. But let's go on to verse 13. It says, how about when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truths, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. And I love that. I love that. Hi, baby. I love that. I love that it says guide you. And that struck me, because I'm bad to say he will lead you into all truth. And there is just a little bit of a difference in the meaning of that word. Guide and lead. So I looked it up, and to guide someone is one who advises or shows you the way. The action says he shows or indicates the way to go. That's the action. So he's given you information. He's given you instructions to help you do or understand something. You know, I have this saying that, you know, and I've heard it before, that the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He's not going to force you to do things, and he won't. He guides you into all truths. He shows you the way. He reveals it to you. He gives you the opportunity to make the right decisions. He's not going to force you to do it. I like to say, and I've heard it said, that God has sons and daughters, and the enemy has slaves. And if you've ever had any kind of a past, we'll call it a past, you realize it comes to a point where you realize that you're a slave to something that may have started out so small, but now you can't seem to live without this thing, whatever it is, and you become a slave. So I looked up the word lead or led, and it says to cause to go with one by holding them by the hand or by some other apparatus like a rope while you're moving forward. So literally you are being pulled, dragged. You're being directed against your will is what that sounds like to me. How about you all? So I got to thinking about that. The Spirit guides me. But what am I being led by? What is pulling me? And half the time, most of the time, 99.9% of the time, I would say my flesh, my wants, my desires, my sinful nature. We'll call that flesh, that sinful nature that I have. What am I being led by? And if you've ever been addicted to anything, it becomes a point where, you know, I heard an alcoholic once say, that, you know, I still have control. Oh, no. You've lost control. Oh, no, no. I still have control. And I'm like, mm-mm. Nope. When you can't go half a day without having something of an alcoholic nature, and this applies to everything and anything that we indulge in, shopping, money, greed, love, lust, whatever you want to call it, your addiction to Facebook. I mean, you can be an addict to so many things, and it can even lead to other things, but it does normally, anything that controls you is leading you. It's taking you by the hand, and it's setting your path for you. So I was reading Romans 6. Let's flip over to that. And the Holy Spirit has many names in the Bible. I want to give you a few of them. He's called the Comforter, John 14 and 16. And this kind of tells you what he's there for. This is kind of describes his work. In the ESV version, he's the helper. He's the helper. In the New Living Translation and then NIV, they call him the advocator. This is John 14 and 16. That's just one verse. Three different versions, you got three different names, but they all kind of tell you what he's there for. He is to comfort you. He is to advocate for you. When you need an advocator, he is a helper. Romans 8 and 15, he's called the Spirit of Adoption. The Spirit of Adoption. So by my own nature, I am sin. I am sinful. But through the forgiveness of my sins through Jesus Christ and the blood that he shed on the cross, and that he sent his Spirit to live in me, I am now adopted into God's family. And, you know, and the Jews would look at you and say, you're a Gentile. You don't live under that covenant, under that promise anymore. But I have been adopted through the Holy Spirit. He lives and dwells within me. Ephesians 1 and 13 says that because of that, I am sealed. Because of the Holy Spirit, I have a seal on me. A seal. And when you start reading Revelations, you will learn a lot about a seal. It identifies you. It identifies you. It identifies something. So let's go to Romans 6. And Paul is sending this to the Romans, and he's trying to explain to them why they no longer have to participate in sin. And the whole chapter is just so good, and it goes so great, I'm going to have to read it. But it starts at verse 1. It says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Who are you going to be a slave to? And I know it's kind of a harsh word, but we're going to serve a master. We're going to serve somebody in our lifestyle, whether our lifetime. It's either you're serving yourself, your sinful nature, your lust, your desires, and in that you're serving the enemy is what you're doing. Or you're going to serve God. And we'll talk about that here in a minute. In verse 2, it says, God forbid, how shall we then that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know you not that so many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus, we were also baptized into his death. You are baptized. That means you are no longer under the rule of sin. You have died just like Christ died. We have died to him. We died to sin. It says, therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also shall walk in newness of life. Ooh, that just took my old life and put it in its place. I am dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, talking about Christ on the cross, that the body of sin might be destroyed. That means it's gone. That henceforth we shall not serve sin, for he that is dead is free from sin. Now, we're not talking about a physical death. We're talking about this spiritual death. Who you're a slave to. Are you going to be led, or are you going to be guided by the Holy Spirit? I hear a lot of freedom in those two decisions there. When you're led, you have no option. You have no choice. You are taken where they want you to go. But when I'm guided by the Holy Spirit, I still have freedom. I still have freedom. I have choices. It would behoove me to choose the right way, the path that the Holy Spirit is showing me. But there's that freedom. Now, if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we also shall live with him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over him. He's talking about in a literal sense, too. Right there. Death has no more dominion. Yes, this body of mine will die, but the spirit that lives within me is going to go back to God. And from there, depending on how I'm judged, was I a child of God? Was I a slave to sin my whole life, or was I a slave to God? It says, likewise, reckon you also yourselves to be dead and indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Christ Jesus. That's what we're talking about. Life through Christ Jesus unto God, being alive. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin. Let not sin reign in your body. Sounds like a choice, don't it? He's encouraging you not to yield to what you are feeling, what you are seeing, what you're wanting to do, the desires that are not in line with God's word. He says, but yield yourself unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Have you ever thought about yourself as being an instrument of righteousness? You can be an instrument and a slave to the sin, or you can be an instrument of righteousness. That is an active choice to do what God and the Holy Spirit is directing me to do. Because remember, the Holy Spirit's only speaking what he hears, what he's being told. You know, it's the Father, the Son, and Holy Ghost. It's a Trinity. They're three separate identity, you know, deities, but they work together. They work together. That's the unity that the church should have, that God's people should have. That's a whole different story, but in a sermon. But are you instruments of righteousness or instruments of sin? I dare say that if we would stop, when we know that those paths, those the Holy Spirit is showing us a way, then that signifies to me that there's also another way. I've got a choice to make here. God, he's saying, come this way, say this, do that, give this, be that. But then I have a choice not to do any of it. You're an instrument of righteousness. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. We know Christ fulfilled the law. So I don't live under this law of sacrificing for my sins. Do I have to go to God and ask for forgiveness? Yes. Yes. By the blood of Jesus Christ, that is provided for me. I don't have to go to a priest and ask him to forgive my sins. He don't have to go into the holies of holies anymore, like in the Old Testament, and you know, petition for the sins of the whole nation. But I have that ability and that right to walk up to the throne of God and say, here's what I've done. I know it's wrong. Father, forgive me. And he will forgive me. That's promised in the Bible. If you confess your sins, He is faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. That's scripture. That's promise. But are you being guided or are you being led? It's time to examine yourself. Time to examine yourself. Let's go on. Verse 15, he says, what then? Should we sin because we are not under the law but under grace? Does that mean that, yeah, I'm saved and no matter what I do, I'm always going to be saved? Paul says, next verse, God forbid. Know ye not to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. Let's read that in the ESV. It says, do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which will lead to death, or of obedience, which leads unto righteousness. But thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed, and having been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, leading to sanctification. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regards to righteousness, but what fruit were you getting at the time from the things which you are now ashamed of? For the end of those things is death. Are you being led? Are you being guided? It's your choice. Matthew 6 and 24 has a very clear understanding of that you can't live in both worlds. Matthew 6 and 24. You can't ride the fence, as we used to say. That's what we all try to do, right? As Brother Pastor Ray would say, and then when I got saved for real, we had a lot of those before the real part. It says, no one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. Are you being led? Are you going to allow the Holy Spirit to guide you? To guide you. Romans 8 and 14 says, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. There's that word led. A led. Am I allowing myself to be led by God? Now, led at this point is the Holy Spirit has given you the instructions and you've decided to make that path, so he is making the way for you. He's going before you. God always goes before you. He's everything already organized, but you've got to be led by him. You've got to intentionally say, God, I am going to be a servant of you. I'm going to be your slave. I don't want to be a slave to sin, which leads to death spiritually, eternally. Physically, I'm going to live and intentionally be led by you. I see the Holy Spirit over there. I'm following him. I'm letting him lead me. But it's by my own free will. It's my choice to be led by him. It says, all who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God. Notice the Holy Spirit's referred to as the Spirit of God, and that's rightfully who he is. He's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has many names in the scripture. I read you just a few of them. The Comforter, the Helper, the Advocate, the Spirit of Adoption. He's our seal. He's the Good Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Breath of Almighty God. And if you get that analogy from Pentecost, when the wind blew in, it was more than just the wind, it was the breath of God. the Spirit of Lord, the Spirit of life, the Spirit of grace, the Spirit of adoption, the Spirit of wisdom. There's many scriptures to back these names up. But I don't hear any that enslaves you, does it, unto sin? If you have a path set before you and you don't know which way is right, you're not for sure how to turn or where to go, I implore to you, I beg you, ask God. The Holy Spirit is available to you. He lives within you. He dwells within man. And He will lead and guide the children of God. Don't make it your own decision. Don't go by your feelings. Don't even go by the knowledge you had prior. You know, there's many situations I've looked at and I thought, because this one behaved this way before, this is probably how it's going to work out. Sometimes even that is not true. People will surprise you. Things will change. God will shift things and change. Go to the Holy Spirit because He will guide you into all truth. It will back up to the Word of God. He will only tell you what He's heard from God. So that's why we know it's true, because it's scriptural. It goes in line with what the Bible talks about. He's never going to lead you on a path that's not God's path. But I want you to examine yourself and look at yourself today. Are you being guided or are you being led? No man can serve two masters, for he'll love one and hate the other. Are you an instrument of righteousness? Are you instruments of sin? Father, we give You praise, glory, and honor, and we thank You for Your word today. We know that we don't take it lightly, Lord. It's always on time. It always has a purpose and meaning in our lives, Lord. Reveal it to us, Father Jesus. Give us wisdom and understanding, Father, in all things. Let this word take root. I bind and rebuke the enemy. He cannot come in and steal it, for Lord Jesus, because it will take root and it will not, according to Your word, come back void. Father, we thank You, Lord. Let us examine our hearts now, our actions, our ways, and our thoughts, Father. Show us, Lord Jesus, where we're being led by our flesh and where we should be guided by the Holy Spirit. Give us the strength and the faith, Lord. Help our unbelief to make the right choices, regardless of what the path may look like, regardless how hard it may be to walk on. No, regardless of how much the flesh screams and cries out in resistance, Father Jesus. For we know that we are more than conquerors, even in our own flesh and against the enemy. That You have given us the power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and all the powers of this world. And that even includes our own flesh, Lord. We thank You that through Christ Jesus we have that wonderful promise. Help us, Lord Jesus, now to walk and be the men and women of God You're called to be, and to always to remember that we aren't just children of God, that we are soldiers. We are soldiers in the army. And every day we face the battles, even when the battles are ourselves, Lord. But we thank God that we have victory through Jesus Christ. In Your precious and holy name, we pray. Amen.